Or how God has sent us the living bread of heaven, John chapter 6. And we're doing this in the context of remembering that we're coming to the table of the Lord together. So in this communion service, we want to focus on how this living bread satisfies us completely. Because I want us to be reminded again and again that we can be completely satisfied in Jesus Christ. As it says here in Matthew, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Promises that we will be filled, that we will not have to go hungry spiritually any longer. And Jesus Christ is a fullness because he's the living bread of heaven. John 6 is going to teach us that he is the living bread from heaven. Jesus is known as the bread of life, and anything that was presented before as kind of bread as a theme in Scripture is just a shadow of the reality. Whether we were talking about manna from heaven coming down to the Israelites who are on their pilgrimage journey through the wilderness, whether we're talking about bread which came from the fields that are farmed, past, present, whether we're talking about the abundance of produce from the blessed land. The Lord promised the Israelites he would bless their land and there would be produce galore. And we have received that blessing in the earth today because we have these billions of population and we have a produce sufficient to feed us all if everyone was able to get what they needed. The distribution is a problem. And as I said, it's, you know, whether we're talking about the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 when Jesus was on the earth, just a shadow of what is to come, what the reality is, just a shadow. It's not the final, the real thing. The final real thing is that Jesus says this, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. He says this in John 6, 35. We'll read that in a moment. Jesus is the real bread. But eating him is not literal. It is symbolic of believing in him. Faith is confidence of what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. We have to trust in Jesus. And that is what he's talking about. But I think in the context of the text, you know, he meets the Jews and they're looking for bread because he got fed the miracle of 5,000. And he says, look, what you need is not just another meal, you need me. And then at this point, you could say, well, maybe you're meeting someone with a crazy idea. You know, when you meet someone with a crazy idea, you say, oh, they drank the Kool-Aid. Well, I'm saying that here in this place, we are prevented from being deceived. We want the truth, nothing but the truth. And the truth is this. We confess here and now at this table of the Lord that Jesus brings us new spiritual life where before we were dead. He is the one who satisfies our deepest need. Let us pray a moment. Dear God, we come to you receiving the word, knowing that the word comes to us with power and strength because of the Holy Spirit and because of your revelation and because it's illuminated with your love and your grace, Lord. And so we come to this story of Jesus, John chapter 6, having fed the 5,000, the miracle, he comes to the other side of the lake, the Jews encounter him, and he explains to them something they cannot fully grasp, that he is the Messiah, the Divine One sent from heaven. He is the living bread. And they must trust him and him alone. And this is hard for them to embrace. But Lord, help us not to find that hard at all, but help us to be our theme and our motto. In Jesus is our life. In him, we find our beginning and our end. May we confess his holy name. through what we meditate and study on in the Word, what we do as we act in the meal, sharing of the cup and the bread. Dear Lord, we do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So our text is an extraction from John 25 to 50. I'm just going to focus on 32 to 42 and kind of summarize the other parts. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" This is a reading of God's word. Thanks be to him. There is a problem that these Jews are encountering, which is that Jesus is the narrow way. He is the one through whom you must pass to get to heaven. And so the question for us all is, are we satisfied with that? Have we found what we're looking for? Are we satisfied with our Lord Jesus? It, of course, takes off from the idea of the meal, of the real food, because you can think about your perfect meal, what you desire to eat. I don't know if there's a kind of bread in there you're particularly fond of, but do you enjoy your bread, or do you enjoy your rice more? People of rice, people of bread. When you have finished eating, can you come away saying you have been fed and it was good? Are you satisfied? Jesus is using a basic building block of Israeli identity. He is teaching them something that is fundamental to them. They know about bread. They know they want bread. They need bread. You know, bread is the staple of life, or rice, or whatever you're living off as the center of your meal. And Jesus knows what they've been through, and they know that they refer to this in a big way. They were refugees out in the wilderness without any stable source of food. They were hungry and worried that perhaps this wild God adventure was going to come up empty. That in the wilderness, the blessings they were hoping for would not materialize. They would have an empty plate. They wouldn't have enough to eat. They would be frustrated. They were worried. They were in a panic. And they turned to Moses. And in that moment of their need, Moses intervened with God and brought about the supply of a miracle bread, something that came from heaven and fed them so that they were satisfied. It was not French bread, nor was it rye bread, nor was it raisin bread, nor was it Egyptian bread. I Googled Egyptian bread. This is what I came up with. Pita bread, bread from the oven. Rather, it was heavenly bread. They gathered the manna. But in this, they were prophesying. They were pointing. It's a shadow of the reality that God had to, at one point, bring the bread from heaven that would truly satisfy us in the deepest possible way. This bread was supplied in a supernatural fashion, and it was unlike any other supply of bread. It was truly God's miracle in the desert. You could not grow this in a field, harvest it when ripe, thresh it on your threshing floor, grind it in your, well, in this case, a donkey-powered grist mill, or bake it in your community baking oven. This bread was provided without any of that. It is a bread which feeds our spiritual hunger. It's with the reality that God is doing some kind of final act here in Jesus. He is transitioning from what they thought they knew to something that was focused on Him and Him alone. What the Jews thought they knew is that they were going to try to fulfill the law. But Jesus is saying to them, you cannot. It's impossible. I'm here to declare to you that you cannot. That you must trust me to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The offer of living bread in Jesus Christ is specific and it is focused. Only the Lord Jesus can be this bread. As he says in John 6, verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So our communion meal is a reminder of what we believe. Eating this bread is not like eating Jesus' flesh. It's not transitioned into anything we believe. It's symbolic. That it represents what he did on the cross 2,000 years ago. That he shed his blood, he gave his life to be a complete remission of all of our sins. He gave this himself for the life of the world. And then, of course, he's the one who's put into the grave. And he burst forth from that grave in a resurrected life and power. Triumphant over the grave, over the devil, over sin, to set us free. So that we may live in him. And Jesus is saying, he's challenging the Jews in front of him. He's saying to them, you have to eat of me. You have to believe in me. You have to trust in me. I am the way that, I am the narrow way. You've got to come through me. And they needed to decide what they're going to do. Accept that or not. The opportunity is yours to take. It's a mystery. It's a mystery which we cannot fully comprehend. How a Jesus could come and be the one. You know, people want to water that down all the time. Throughout 2,000 years of church history, throughout years of all kinds of religions developing and growing. And they always say, you know, like if you're talking to the Muslim faith, you know, you read a summary of it and it says, yeah, we believe in the scriptures of the Christians, but they were corrupted. They're corrupted. So Muhammad and the Quran corrects what was corrupted. You go to a Mormon and they'll say, Joseph Smith, what he said is, the Christian scriptures were corrupted. The church is corrupt. So we are the church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. I've come with a new gospel, the Book of Mormon. It's a new story which corrects anything that was wrong before. And so they can kind of take the Bible along for a ride, but they're not centering their faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. They've diverted. They have distorted. It's a mystery. The opportunity to partake of our Lord Jesus is ours. We need to take our steps of faith to find it. It is for us to find and receive freely and graciously. The Lord says, here's my offer. Will you take it? You have to begin to trust Him and Him alone. I was recently reading a story about a woman who came to faith. And She was not a Christian, didn't live in a Christian environment at all, but the way the Lord spoke to her was, he says, seek and you'll find. He said to her, just keep seeking and you will find. And she was shared, the gospel was shared with her, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that Jesus is the living bread. And she began to believe and trust in the Lord and began to follow him. And she found satisfaction. She found her soul was filled. Her spiritual hunger was met. And there are answers to her questions found in the gospel. If you cannot accept God's way, so be it. But we gather around this table and we give thanks that our Lord Jesus is our living bread. We gather around this table and we give thanks that he gave his life. We give thanks that we are gathered as a community sharing in this one common faith. If you cannot accept God's way, then so be it. God has provided this unique and very specific answer. This is the narrow way that he's talking about in Matthew 7. And this narrow way is sufficient. It's enough. It will supply your every need. It says in Philippians 4, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He will supply your every need. You will be satisfied. This faith is a complete faith. And we need to return to this idea of what is our motivation? What is our most basic need? What is the thing that drives a person and gives them an incentive as you're growing up? Think and remember this. Trying to be good. You know, as you're a kid, a child, you're in a home and a family, you try to please your parents. You're going to school, you try to be a good student. If you're part of a team, you try to be a valuable contributor in your environment. If you're on a sports team, you try to be a good player to your part, defensively or offensively. If you're in a workplace, you try to collaborate well with the others around you. If you're serving customers, you try to serve them the best you can with a smile on your face. You try to please your boss with a quality job, so on and so forth. You're always trying to do your best, behaving, contributing, keeping the rules, showing up, doing your best. It's all performance-based. Are you on the scale? Kind of a bad day, a good day? Are you kind of got in the middle, being a bit average? With God, the relationship is totally different. It's not performance-based at all. God is different. The relationship with God is completely different than that, and it works differently. And the question is for us, how do we obtain an inner cleansing so that we can be reconciled to the one who will judge your soul? God is the judge. This is a basic teaching of Scripture, that we're going to live our lives and we're going to come to the judge. And if it's performance-based, I say, woe be to us. Because you can never get the perfect score card, never perfect grade card. You're just not going to measure up. You can have, your list could be 10,000 things long, you know. God just says, why should I let you into my heaven for a holy people? How do we obtain the inner cleansing before the judge? How do we get on right terms with the one who will determine our eternal destiny? How do you give account to one who is beyond everything else? This is a great quote by R.C. Sproul. He says, the holiness of God is traumatic to unholy people. We don't like it. We want to scurry away. We want to cover ourselves. We're shamed. You know, we say, we're not ready. I feel dirty. I feel unclean. I feel like I'm not ready for God and his holiness. You know, kind of a temptation for people is to say, yeah, we're going to get there through the priest. or through the pastor, or through the holy guy, you know? Kind of one of the reasons I think in the Catholic tradition there's a very strong emphasis on saints. You know, the saint can kind of be the special one. And then the taxi driver, I was with a taxi driver once who was a Catholic in Montreal, and he was saying, no, saints do that. I just kind of live my life and wait and see. I said, no, I believe. I've trusted Jesus, and I know that this trauma is behind me, that I'm an unholy person. I do not come to God presentable or acceptable, but I am cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I'm cleansed by His giving His life. How do you give account to one who's beyond everything else? Through this simple proclamation. This is the question. Each of us have to give an account of ourselves to God. What do we say? This simple phrase. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It's all you need to say. Jesus is my answer, Lord, through Him and through Him alone. We need this to be reminded into our lives. This is what Jesus is trying to teach the Jews there who are coming to Him and saying, how can this be? Where is this bread? We want this bread. And Jesus says, I can give you eternal bread for eternal life. You have to believe in Me. You have to accept Him as the divine Savior who has come from heaven and has gone back to heaven. God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Are you ready to meet your Maker? We need this confession, and I want it. I am so glad to have it, so that I am prepared to meet my Maker. Will the Lord have a million questions for me? Of course He will. There are a million things that He needs to point out and clarify and, you know, say, here it is, you know, here it is, Frank, here's you. Unworthy you. God will have a million questions for you and for me. But that is okay, because I'm a receiver of His mercy and grace. Jesus is all I need to carry me through into heaven. He said, I'm preparing a place for you. In early in 6, chapter 6, preparing a place for you, and I will come back and bring you there. This is my hope, and this is my song. In coming to this table, this is what we believe, and this is what we proclaim. Jesus is all I need. Amen. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your mercy and grace, fully granted to us in Jesus Christ. We thank You for the privilege and opportunity to gather at this table and share in the supper. We thank You, Lord, for faithful servants who have made this table ready, faithful servants who prepared to share the meal, bring it around. We pray that You may allow us to be fully satisfied, Lord, that You are the living bread. A bread that we need that surpasses all of the demands and needs of this life. We pray, Lord, that You may help us to see it more clearly and know it more dearly. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is Your name. Amen.